gave me the guy's name, phone number, and said, call him up. You can, maybe you can write with him.
Sure. We, that was one of the reasons we started peer support groups, because we didn't want to just give names to other people. You know, we wanted them to meet, but we didn't want to just say, well, here, you know, call Mary or call Joe. But beyond setting up groups, but that's one strategy. The other thing we can do is we can say that we, okay, I know an individual who has a similar situation. Would you want me to give that person your name? And if they would want to talk to you. And if the client says, well, sure, I'd be interested. I mean, we don't just give the client I'm talking to now the name and phone number of this other person. We ask the client I'm talking to now for permission to give their name and phone number to, or email, whatever, to this other person. So that's another strategy.
A strategy, but are we going to put that into rule then? Or do they sign, have to sign releases or what?
Okay.
This is Nancy. If that's a part of their release for services, but also before we release anything else, we get permission and oftentimes written permission to release any information.
So I think maybe we should have it so there's written releases, so a person can't come back and say, oh, you broke my confidentiality, when in reality the person didn't. You know, for some reason they get a burr under their saddle and decide they're going to complain. You know, they had a bad day. So to protect our counselors, I think there has to be written, you know, a document saying that they gave permission.
See,
there's an application. It's also included, and they sign on their IPE. We review that, and under there is confidentiality, and they develop their own program, and a part of that is peer counseling, individual counseling, group counseling, where they will be meeting and having the opportunity to meet other people. And we describe those types of situations where they will have a chance to talk to other people. How do you want us to handle that? And they tell us at that time how they want to, and they sign off on their IPE.
Yeah, so we do actually have the written signature, because you're right, we really need
that
to do that.
Important.
But you know, it's on the written IP, what is it? Individual IP. Program plan?
Individualized plan for employment.
Oh, okay.
IPE.
IPE, okay. But after they, how often do you do the IPE? Say there just one incident comes up, like the situation where I was looking for a ride to get to Omaha. You don't go through the whole IPE again at that moment, like a week before school starts. You just make things happen.
Yeah, but with that, as I said, we would not just give you the phone number of that other person. We would ask you, do you want me to give your phone number to this other person?
Mm-hmm. And then the other person would also in turn say, well, that's probably okay, but I would prefer mm-hmm. that
yeah.
I wouldn't meet with this other person that you haven't given me a name yet, but I would prefer not to. So they both
right.
have the decision power.
Yes. And, you know, some people don't want it to be known that they're a client. Mm-hmm. That is not an unusual situation.
Mm-hmm.
So we really respect that.
Okay.
Now, so we're out of our specified time for this particular topic. Do people, you know, I've asked all of my questions. You know, the only other things I have are just little, you know, my usual wordsmithing things or whatever, but those I can send to somebody and,
yes.
you know, that kind of thing. But as far as what is the next step here, will, as those pieces are written, will we be receiving those? And if there are chapters 9 and 10, we'll get those. And then what?
Okay, we will be working on a next draft, which will hammer out some of the things we've discussed today, as well as make sure things like headings are correct and numbering is correct. We'll go through all of that. And then we will send that to you, probably also send it to all staff, and make it available for people in general. As we did with the other rules in those initial stages, kind of bounce a draft back and forth a few times.
Yeah, and put it on the website and stuff.
Right,
yeah.
And then schedule a public hearing. And then hopefully any suggestions that anybody has, you know, they can send notes to me and we can either incorporate or address that it's already somewhere else or whatever, to make this a really good document, and up to the point where it becomes, where we have the public hearing. Hopefully we'll do that tweaking of it before then. Then we'll have the public hearing. If there are any additional comments or changes, we'll incorporate those, you know, as we did, and so that would be the process.
Do you have a projected time frame for the public hearing, you know, to have it done enough to go to a public hearing?
Well, I hadn't said it yet because I was kind of waiting to see, you know, kind of what we did here today and whether there seemed to be a lot of reworking needed. I feel like we probably, I don't know if you want to try to have the public hearing kind of in conjunction with, let's say, the next board meeting, or if that's too soon, maybe get a more finalized draft. I don't want to rush it in and miss something, but I also don't want to delay it ad nauseum either, because the steps themselves, as you know, take plenty of time. So I guess my first question is, do you think it's something we could incorporate into the timing of a commission board meeting, or do you think it needs to be a separate event?
Well, the last time, and I know we had three chapters rather than just one or whatever, but we did have a separate thing for it.
Right.
I think really was a good idea. You know, we did the conference thing, mm-hmm. and we did it in an evening, which was able to get more people probably. I don't know. What does everybody else think? You know, it doesn't feel ready for us to, you know, approve as a draft, you know, yet to me, because of the parts that still are missing or whatever.
I would sure agree with that. I would not want you to approve what's here.
For the public meeting, the conference, video conference that we set up, was that required?
No, it was not.
So all we need to do is have it one place.
Yes.
We give notice to the meeting, okay.
Yes.
I don't see why you couldn't work it in with one of our board meeting in lieu of a focus topic or something.
How much notice do we have to give for the meeting?
Oh, there's
30 days or something?
It's all, I can't tell you off the top of my head, but.
So it might be as long as 30 days?
It could be. Mm-hmm. I know it's very detailed in what's required. And
Well, since we are talking about employee rules, it would seem logical to me that since the biggest cluster of employees is in Lincoln, mm-hmm. that it'd be in Lincoln, and mm-hmm. the next meeting is in Lincoln, but it's the next meeting is
August 7th.
2 months away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we go out west, don't we?
So that would, we haven't decided actually where the next meeting was going to be.
Oh.
We decided when it's going to
right.
be.
If but I may say, certainly it would not be before the next board meeting. You got to remember, we've got the monitoring review coming
that's right.
up. We've got the state mm-hmm. plan, the in-service training report. I mean, those are all fairly major projects, not to mention the day-to-day work. So it's not like, you know, we've got a free month here where we can do nothing but this.
So it sounds like it's probably not going to be ready for the August one anyway.
I think we could make it ready for the August meeting. If that's your pleasure, we will do it.
Are you saying just this part of our policies and procedures, the employee?
The workplace policy chapter.
Okay.
Would be what there will be a public hearing on.
And then we got other chapters to do too, don't we?
No.
No?
No. The first three chapters are nearly completion. I'll tell you more about that later.
Yeah, that's
pretty much. And then this one, that's all we need.
But see, we still have to have policies and procedures on, like, the last issue of immigrants. And that we need some policies and procedures on that, too.
Well, actually, the Rehab Act speaks to that already, and it supersedes anything we do.
Well.
And it says.
But we need to make a decision, because it's now 10:55. So we need to make a decision on whether we want to, you know, incorporate this into the August meeting, the November meeting, or some third thing. That's
well,
the decision.
Here's another thought. We're going to have, you know, we're going to exchange some emails and get the language. We're going to have a conference call for Pearl's evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
mm-hmm.
at that time we could decide if we're ready for the August 8th. And
that's a good idea.
And that would still be 30 days. That would be sometime in June.
Excellent idea.
So that'd be my thought, is wait till that and then we decide if we're ready.
August 7th.
Okay.
That's a good idea.
Okay, is that a consensus that we
yes.
do it that way?
I just want to bring up one more issue. Maybe
okay.
We're talking about more after break, but no. Immigrants coming in is not covered under the Rehab Act. I've got all the guidelines from Homeland Security and the CIS on guidelines to become a citizen of the United States. If they're not a citizen of the United States, they cannot become a citizen of Nebraska. So that Rehab Act does not apply. And we need to cover that. We need to have documentation in their files that they're actually a citizen. So if you want to bring it up after we take a break, that's great.
I thought it was
okay.
It was thought that you can't ask. If you can't ask.
Okay, that is a separate topic, and we will deal with other topics after we break. So right now, it's 10:58, so by, you know, pretty much 11 o'clock. So 10-minute break, 11:10, we will resume.
Sharp.
And we'll pretend like it's 10:41.
Yes.
So Bob, how did who came through for the final MOPIX funding?
Where are the ladies?
Resume.
Yeah, right here.
Connie, are you ready? Connie, Carlo? Okay.
Have a sit down.
Yeah, I don't want to. Okay. The next item on the agenda is the report from the chairman, and I'll be real brief because I realize that we're kind of.
Madam Chairman?
Yes.
I wanted to continue with my discussion. Is there time for that somewhere along the way?
Probably in old business, either old or new business, whichever. Okay. Technology being what it is.
But see, I would think, excuse me, Barb, I don't mean to interrupt, but since we were going over policies and procedures, you know, I think we still address that issue now.
Well, you know, it can end up in old business. You know, I'm trying really hard for us to stay within our parameters. And I certainly don't want to not have anything, be able to have its day or, you know, that kind of thing. But I also want us to stay on task and on target.
Well, why don't we give it 10 minutes?
So we will, you know, we'll... we can get to that in the, in old business, since that was, you know, there is an item in old business to revisit two topics. That was an item that you asked for in the agenda. Is that one of them?
Yes.
Okay, then that, it already has a place on the agenda.
Where is it at in old business?
They're not sold.
After the rule update and the budget and the website and friends and this, then clarification of two topics from February meeting. It has your name by it. So it's right after the NIS update. That's where it is.
Those updates will all be quite short.
Yeah. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, for the chairman's report, on the 5th of March, not specifically as a chairman of the board or whatever, but I did have the opportunity to go to the Winterfest that the commission has and speak to and do Braille art with teenagers, and that was a lot of fun. I also want to mention that I attended one of the VIPS training sessions, the visually impaired peer support training sessions that Bob Deaton had on the 18th of March, and we appreciate being invited to those kinds of things. And I know that at least one other commissioner went to one of those. Mm-hmm. Nancy, you went to the one in
Kearney,
and Bob, did you go to the one in Omaha?
No, I intended to, but the date, the timing was unworkable.
So two of us did attend those, and as I say, I think it was good to be involved in that. I want to mention that I hope that the materials list that was attached to the February minutes is accurate, because there was a short period when I transferred from Internet Nebraska to Roadrunner that some of the things that that I was sending to the commission board, you know, address, didn't necessarily come back to me. And so I hope I made sure that I got them all on there. We have had some discussion over the email about impartial hearing officers, and you know, hopefully, I know we have three at least still in the pool, and hopefully that's okay. I also want to remind you guys that the website has bios from us on them. I looked at them the other day, and I think pretty much all of ours are outdated. So I did talk to Pearl about that, and she did send us an email as to how to send a message to Jim to get that on the website and get those updated, and we really need to do that. We also, at least two of us have said that we would be willing to participate in the monitoring review interviews when that time comes. You know, Nancy and I have agreed to do that.
Mm-hmm. I think Bill also expressed.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I guess I didn't get
that
one.
Yesterday.
Okay.
Depending on time.
Yeah.
So forth.
Okay.
No, there was mentioned that that could possibly be something we do in a conference call.
Yeah, there was.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
if you want to participate, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, so once the dates are set, we can find out about that. Also, I want to publicly say that, although, you know, I'm glad that we have Connie Carlo here taking notes, it does seem strange that Jan Ludwig is no longer actually an employee of the commission, and we certainly have appreciated her service over the years, and you know, it's good that there will be a new person in that position, and you know, we can welcome Val Peary when she gets on board as of the 24th of this month. Also, we've had, you know, information about the vendor training on the 11th of June, and as I mentioned, I do intend to go to that.
I do too.
Okay. That's good. And we, you know, we hope that the chapters 1, 2, and 3 will be happening real soon, so that we can have those particular rules in place. We also like getting the email compliment things, like we got about Jan Brandt. It's good to know that sometimes clients do send in job well done kinds of notes, and we like receiving those. And as always, we like receiving the articles that people write once they're finished with center training, and the survey forms that people send in. Sends to us.
Mm-hmm. When are we going to send out those survey forms?
That's on the agenda, too.
Oh, okay.
Toward the end of the agenda. And I believe that's it for the report from the chairman. So at this point, it's time for the report from the executive director.
All right, thank you. I'll say first that I try to send information out to you on a pretty regular basis, and as things come up, I try to get it to you as quickly as I can. I know there's usually lots of stuff just before the board meeting, and so I understand it probably you don't always have time to read those things, but I do want to say if any of you, you know, think you're not getting, if you haven't gotten something from me, maybe check in, send me a note to make sure, because I don't know, I hope you get what I send, and I hear back from a few of you, but not all of you, which is fine, you don't have to, but I just would hate for somebody to be getting documents and not be able to read them, or not somehow be getting the emails from me. So be sure, just let me know if you think there's any breakdown in that. So I also try to make my report as concise as possible by not necessarily bringing up everything that I've sent you, in the hopes that if you've read something and have questions or want discussion, that we could go into it, because I could spend the whole morning if I gave you a full report as opposed to 10 minutes. So in the interest of time, I try to be as concise as I can. So far this year, we've served 1,158 people in all statuses, both voc rehab and independent living. We're still maintaining 70% employment of individuals who have gone through the center full time. Our new staff person, Jennifer Steggy, who announced last meeting, will finish her training June 4th, and then she'll be working as the apartment resource counselor. And we're very excited to get her in that position. We did have a change of a position for Deanna Jesse in the Kearney office. She has been an orientation counselor, and that has been changed to rehabilitation counselor. It's a parallel move, but a change in the title. Barbara already mentioned Valerie Peary. She starts May 24th and will go through 3 months training. The Alumni Association has met twice. They're going to be meeting monthly, and they do have an event planned. It's in Lincoln at the Holiday Inn. I don't know if it's confirmed, but their plan is to be at the Holiday Inn of Lincoln Sunday, October 10th from 6 to 9:30. Standards and indicators, we've just received the results of the 2002 fiscal year. The Federal Rehab Services Administration compiles all the results of all the statistics, case services that each agency submits through the year, and then does their, it's a rather complicated formula. But anyway, we have just received the results for 02, and there are six indicators that were required to pass five of the six and three are called primary, we're required to pass two of those three. And we passed five of six of the overall and all three of the primary indicators. And these are things like increasing our employment outcomes, the percent of outcomes that are employment, competitive, the percent that are competitive, significant disability, increasing the earnings ratio people are earning, and then increasing the level of change from to become self-supporting after services as opposed to before. And so those are the main things. I was honored to be asked to present about standards and indicators and about how we use these to help to preserve specialized services for the blind at the recent spring conference of the National Council of State Agencies for the Blind. So this was an opportunity to really highlight the quality services that Nebraska Commission provides. That was a very good opportunity. We have looked at the network, or the server, I should say. We have done testing at all the offices and it looks pretty good. We're waiting for the costs to be reformulated. Currently it would cost $14 for each workstation per month, and we're told that that might go down to 10, so we're not going to start until we get a level of cost that's we feel like we really can sustain through the budget. I mentioned last time I'm on the RSA work group on transition, and that at the recent meeting we were asked to present on our transition services. Karen Mosier presented and did a very good job, and we got again great recognition for the services that we provide. And let's see, there's an I think it's called a student records system. It's a kind of a information management system that the schools are using, and it came to our attention thanks to an individual and Shane Burrish coming and talking with me about this system that has actually been put in place by some ESUs and some public school districts is not accessible for blind teachers to utilize. So we're working on that. A sort of a coalition of people from Department of Education, Assistive Technology, the NEAT Center, and the ESUs, or at least one ESU, are working on that to make that accessible. And then our involvement is more support as it's needed for design issues and training, any training issues that might be involved. So hopefully not another NIST, but a pretty big system. And I want to thank and recognize Shane Burrish for his attention to that. The vendors meeting has been mentioned. There will be a public forum in Kearney May 14th. That's as a part of the VIPS meeting. And also I've been asked on behalf of the Workforce Board to serve on the Rehabilitation Council of the Voc Rehab General Agency. And I've agreed to do that, so that should be interesting to be on a rehab council. And then I could talk about my goals, but if you think there's time, or do you want me to? Well, I'll just highlight some main things. One of the first goals has to do with the training personnel in strategies for successful job placements. And we continue this effort at our spring staff meeting, state staff. We had a speaker, Mike Bullis, who is a blind man who has done many different, he's had many different companies and businesses, real dynamic guy. And he worked with us on customer relations. And we actually did an exercise that I'd really like to see the board do as a focus topic at some point. And we went through, first we identified our major customers, you know, the consumer organizations, the board, legislators, the public in general, and so on. And then we broke into small groups on each, for each of those identified target populations, and describe the, we went through a whole exercise to try to examine what is our relationship with that population, and how can we improve it, and, you know, what are some pieces that we can work on. And so all of that relates to customer relations and how to better achieve successful employment for our clients. It was a very interesting, very good exercise. And I, when it's, the small group results are all being compiled, and when that's finished, I'll send that to you all, and you can know more about it, and then see if you feel like it fits. But we really would like to have your involvement and input as well. Let's see, some of my goals relate to rules. I'll wait on that. So I guess, you know, those are the overview. That's the overview of things. And would you like me to talk about any of the things that I have sent you in recent times? Otherwise, if not, I'm finished. Thank you.
Okay. Let's see. There was something that I was... Interagency Transportation Coordinating Council, but I didn't write down what my question was, so I don't know. Maybe there wasn't one.
I don't think we're involved with that anymore.
I don't either.
And when we were involved, it, you know, it was kind of interesting, and I was on the board for some time, and then it switched to someone else in the agency, and I don't know that it really was that good use of our time.
Yeah, and now there was a thing a while back about the United We Ride thing, you know, had to do with transportation. Is there anything happening here in Nebraska concerning that?
Not that I know of. I don't know if anyone else has information on that.
Okay, I don't think I have anything else that...
Is VIPS... financing, is that public information, or is that...
That's sure something we could talk about, yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I guess was the bill this year, I know, drew a lot of scrutiny, deservedly scrutiny. In previous years, and I guess I'm not familiar with what their reimbursement has been every year, but was it dramatically more this year, or was it just looked at closer? Or?
Well, one change had to do with going to a reimbursement system, and as you know, in the past, really, especially 4 years, but even 6 years, we've worked very hard to make everything that we do be accountable and be done in a consistent manner. So part of that has been going to more of, you know, really reimbursing as opposed to just giving a grant and, you know, at the beginning of a year and then not really monitoring it very closely. Can I give the floor to Bob?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bob, I just want
to say your full name.
Bob Eaton.
Thank you.
Okay.
I just want to say that in previous years, we basically granted the money in lump sum on a quarterly basis, you know, and ultimately that would add up to whatever the grant amount was for that year. The financial report that we would see as far as their expenditures, my review of that basically was to see that that the money is being spent within the, within what we agreed to grant. The actual expenditures of the this organization itself is like $50,000 a year. That's how much we spend. I believe last year on the BIPs convention alone was like $28,000. Now this year the grant is $31,000. That's what we started out with this year. Now in years past, I've only been concerned about whether or not the BIPs is spending money within the parameters of the grant agreement. Now they do spend money on a lot of things that are outside the grant. Just for example, the fact that they have an office. That's one expense that's not covered by the grant. This year, we needed to look at it a lot closer. We didn't feel like we could support the BIPs convention. Which was the significant part of the agreement that we had with the BIPs organization, that our grant would go to support that. We also agreed to support activities like transportation to and from support group meetings. So when we notified the BIPs organization that part of our support was being terminated, then we needed to take a closer look at what really did fall within their expenditures that we could support. So before it wasn't a problem because I think it always fell within the parameters of what we were allowing. Now we needed to take a closer look, and we basically asked them to submit what they felt was within the parameters of the grant. So, we were requesting, we told them, submit to us what you felt to be invoices that you feel to be within the scope of the grant. Okay? And so that's what they sent. Ultimately, I believe what they did was they sent us all of their expenditures, much of what they sent was not within the parameters of the grant. Does that answer your question?
So if basically the money, before, as I understand what you said, they basically got there was a grant amount, they got that amount and they just spent it as they saw fit. So now we're scrutinizing it, and so if they don't, so you say $31,000 is what was.
Well, that's what we agreed to pay up to.
Okay.
Yeah, right. They receive a lot more money from other sources. Like I say, I believe last year their total budget was somewhere closer to $60,000, a little over that. But the amount of money that they spend out of that from the grant is about half.
So if they don't come up with $31,000, then they only get up to $31,000, as I understand. So okay.
Right. Well, we will reimburse them for those activities that fall within the scope of the grant. Outside of the convention itself.
Madam Chairman?
Yes.
I'm just wondering how much of the allocated amount, you said $31,000, do they generally, as a rule, expect to receive that amount? I mean, do they, or is it usually a lot less than that they demand to have or can have, I guess I should say. I know they do a lot of fundraising and they get outside.
Yeah.
But do, I mean, like, for instance, let's say last year you said it was $28,000. Was that the amount that they got, or was that the amount that they could go up to?
Well,
The $28,000 was the amount that they actually spent on their spring convention last year, the workshop, spring workshop.
Okay.
Up until this year, we have always provided the full amount of the grant that was approved, which most recently was $31,000.
Yeah, they generally, up until this year, they generally spent money on activities that fall within the scope of the grant.
Okay, but they would get the full amount, I mean...
Up to the full amount, right.
Yeah.
They actually exceeded the grant amount on activities that are supportable by the grant.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know. Thank you.
So I think what we're trying to do here is make it clear to them what the parameters of the grant are, you know? And responding to what they submitted to us for reimbursement, we are making it clear to them that we've taken a liberal, a broad interpretation, if you will, of the grant as far as reimbursing this time, but we are making it clear what we, that we are going to be, we are not going to be as liberal the next time around.
Yeah, well, I was at the meeting in Kearney, and it seemed to me, although Bob did a very fine job, I had to be very pleased with the job that Bob did.
I'm sorry, Nancy, it's hard for me to hear you.
Okay, I just wanted to say, he just wanted me to repeat the compliment, I think.
Yeah.
That you did an excellent job presenting to the people there, but I really felt like there were several people that didn't get the point, even though you patiently explained and explained and explained.
Yes.
That, you know, that there were guidelines and that you were not going to be able to, or were not going to fund, you know, certain things that were outside those parameters. And they kept pointing out that they raised money too. Well, that's well and good, but if you expect money, the kinds of things that the commission was asking them to do, for example, have staff people there to present certain things and to have a keynote speaker that was somebody that could give them some inspiration in doing things for themselves. You know, I don't think those are unreasonable at all. I think those are commendable things, because part of what the commission does is to teach blind people to be independent and to learn to do things on your own as much as is physically possible. And I was a little disturbed by the fact that they weren't getting that point, that I really got the impression that they were using the spring conference as a let's go have a good time at the state's expense, rather than, you know, and I think you guys are to be commended to holding to the guidelines and talking to them. But my real point was, are the leadership in the VIPS, are they willing to come and, you know, work these things out with you and Pearl and whoever else is involved with the VIPS groups? I mean, are there, you know, I know that you guys have worked, tried to work with them, but I'm, you know, are they coming around to understanding? Because I really didn't see a lot of understanding.
There is one member of the board who has had several meetings with Bob and myself to try to understand, who really does agree with the purpose of rehab, you know, the rehab aspect of these grant funds. The other leadership, the president, the treasurer, other members of the board have not made any efforts to discuss this with us.
Pretty sad.
But thank you for, I mean, it's been a difficult process, and we're trying to be very, very fair, very loyal to the purpose of these funds and loyal to the needs, you know, for training, and not just support things that are not appropriate. So we appreciate your comments.
Well, it was very good for me to go, because I realized there were problems, but I was very glad to know that you guys are on top of it and are working with them to change things. So thank you for that opportunity to go.
Thank you.
Yes, I found the same thing to be true at the at the Lincoln meeting. Does anybody, excuse me?
Yes, I just wanted to say, you know, that's a frustrating thing. You know, sometimes I feel like I'm repeating myself when I go to meetings, you know. I try to say what it is that the grant is for, what we would like to see done with the money. And there's a communication problem.
Yeah.
Well, keep hanging in there.
Really, we're behind you.
Okay, are there other issues for the, you know, to bring to Pearl about things that she has sent to us or that kind of thing? If not, it occurred to me that one thing we might want to do and probably should have done at the very beginning of the meeting. And Dorothy, sometimes maybe you should just hit me over the head with, why don't you read the agenda? anyway, so we'll do that at this point.
What do you mean, read the agenda?
Well, when you were asking about items and I was saying that they're later on in the agenda or whatever, it occurred to me